Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, brought to you each week by University Hospital, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. And this is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. Well, if you've reached the ripe old age of 50, or perhaps earlier, if your doctor thought there were reasons to do so, it's been recommended you get a bone density scan. Now, when I turned 50, yes, a few years ago, I was told to have one, and not knowing much about it, I just worried about it, even though I followed my doctor's recommendation, and yes, I made my appointment. Turns out it was so easy, and my doctor was able to learn so much from it, and it seems that it's great information for our listeners to have. So we invited Dr. Jennifer Kelly, an endocrinologist and an assistant professor of medicine at SUNY Upstate, to tell us more about bone densitometry. Good morning, Dr. Kelly.
Good morning.
I want to start, first of all, with the fact that you're an endocrinologist, and we're talking about bone density, and those two don't go together in my head. So can you explain that for me?
Oh, sure. So endocrinology is a term for we follow diseases dealing with hormones. And actually, it does fall into the category also of there's some hormones, parathyroid hormone, calcium, and all these things relate to the bones. So we actually do, as a field, endocrinology, take care of metabolic bone disorders as well.
You do. Okay, so you're with the Joslin Center. So is there bone densitometry going on at the Joslin Center now?
Yes, actually, if you see our sign on Genesee Street, it not only does it say Joslin Center for Diabetes, it also says University Endocrinologist and Osteoporosis Center.
I see. So you're all tied together. And do you have one of those big machines there at your location too?
Yes, actually we have a bone densitometry machine, or what we call DEXAs, and we have a newer model which is capable of giving high precision pictures that are very helpful for diagnosis and following patients.
Excellent. So you have your new location, you have new machines, and now we're ready to talk about bone densitometry.
Yes.
All right, and you called it DEXA. I'd not heard that before.
Yeah, I guess that's more of a coin term. It stands for dual energy absorptometry. So that's just kind of the long, fancy way of saying for bone mineral density, because there are different ways to measure density. Sometimes in more rural areas, they may test ways of measuring bones, such as heel ultrasounds or things of that nature. But actually, the gold standard for looking at bones is with a DEXA.
Okay. Well, I want to talk about how that machine works in just a minute. But first, let's talk about who this applies to. Now, as I said, I was 50, and it was a few years ago, and my doctor recommended I have a bone density scan. And I did, and it was really simple, but why did she think I needed to have one then?
Well, the average age for menopause in the United States is around 51. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but certainly people may have it earlier or younger. And when I mention menopause, because that's typically the age where we see where you don't have the female hormones around any longer, so then there's more risk for bone loss. So talking about females. Now, men certainly can be at risk for osteoporosis also, and that happens in both sexes as we get older. And then there are other disease states that could put someone at risk for bone loss. Even diabetes, type 1 or type 2 could, overactive thyroid, celiac disease, rheumatoid arthritis. So there, if someone has, say, low testosterone levels in a man. So there are many different reasons why bone loss may occur.
I see. Now, let me make sure I understand this too then. If we're talking about osteoporosis, and I've also heard the term osteopenia, so that's kind of early osteoporosis. Those can all relate to, what, loss of hormone use later in life?
Right. So when we talk about the terms osteopenia and osteoporosis, these are generally obtained from the DEXA exam. When someone has the test done, they give a level called the T-score. And so this helps to tell risk of fracture, because that's the main thing we care about with the bones, is we want to diagnose and prevent fracture.
And, you know, I remember my grandmother calling it brittle bones. That's what you're talking about,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
Aha.
So now there is a term osteopenia when someone's T-score is considered below normal, but not to the point yet where it's osteoporosis. And actually, some experts in the field are trying to get away from that term, because it really is just some early bone loss, and we don't want to necessarily give someone a disease state per se if they don't have one. It's just kind of to make them aware that there has been some bone loss and that this could proceed to osteoporosis and, you know, risk for fracture.
A bit of a warning for them.
Correct.
I see. All right. Okay. So now I'm going to go and get this bone density scan, or DEXA, and what happens that day? It was so simple for me. I want you to explain it to our listeners, because it will be simple for them too.
Sure. I'm glad that you had a good experience. So what happens is we generally ask patients to wear comfortable clothes that don't have zippers, because when we're looking at these tests, and anything that has metal might show up on the picture and then might give a false reading. So we try to avoid those type of closures on the clothes. And then actually, we actually ask our patients not to take their calcium tablets that morning if they do take calcium, because it can actually show up going through the intestines on the film, and it might look on the spine to be abnormal.
I was told not to take my vitamins.
Correct. Yeah. So, but really, you know, so they come in with comfortable clothes, they lay down on a table, and we generally take pictures of the spine and hip. Sometimes we'll look at other sites like the wrist, or we may do something called a vertebral fracture assessment to look at the spine for any loss of vertebral height, which could signify that there's been a fracture there. But generally, the person just lies there, and there's something that goes over them and takes some pictures, and it's very non-invasive, no
very
problems.
Simple.
Yes.
Yeah, it was actually, it was like this huge camera, and it was just kind of hovering over me, so it didn't touch me. It was just, as I said, I just lay down on a table, and something took pictures of
me. Yes.
And then it came back, and there were numbers and this little graph and some pictures.
Mm-hmm.
What do those tell you?
Okay, so for the pictures, again, we mostly look at the spine and hip, and it gives a number in something called grams per centimeter square. This is the actual bone mineral density. And then it gives these T-scores. And the T-scores tells for that person, particularly for postmenopausal women, that's where T-scores were first originated. But there are different databases for men and for different ethnicities as well. It'll tell how your bones look compared to someone of a younger age. And then it can give an idea for a risk of fracture.
Okay. Now, mine came out fine. Fortunately, there's nothing that I need to do right now. But my grandmother had osteoporosis. She had that Dowager's hump that they used to call it, where she was bent over. Does that put me at higher risk? And when would I need to get one again?
Okay. So, unfortunately, family history does put someone at higher risk for later bone problems.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of when a follow-up bone density test should be done, it really all depends upon what the findings were and other medical problems.
Okay.
So, say someone like yourself who's relatively young in the 50s and had a normal bone density, you probably could go 5 years until your next bone density. Unless, of course, something were to happen in the meantime, if you developed some type of problem or had a fracture that shouldn't have occurred, or if you started a medication such as steroids or something that could cause bone loss.
I see. And then, but for people who there are findings or some of those warnings you're talking about, do they do them more frequently then?
Yes. And some of it depends upon, you know, that person's clinical history
sure.
and to the discretion of their physician. In general, if someone has some evidence of bone loss, perhaps osteopenia, we may get it 2 years later. We can't do these tests too often because changes happen at the bone very slowly.
I see.
So, if someone is diagnosed with a problem and even is started on a medication, usually the soonest that we can have another bone density is a year later.
I see.
Because it does take that time for changes to occur.
Okay. Well, and let's talk about some of those medications, because they are out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you find that somebody has a problem, there are actually ways that they can treat it.
Oh, yes.
And what are some of those ways you treat it?
Okay. Well, first of all, we always tell patients we want to make sure that they're obtaining enough calcium and vitamin D, not only from their diet, but from supplements if necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's important to do other preventive measures, such as not smoke, not to drink in excess.
All those things we hear all the time, of course.
And then to perform regular weight-bearing exercise, because that's important to keep the bone strong. And then it's also very important for fall prevention, especially with the winter months around here, it's very easy to slip.
Right.
So we have to be careful. Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And even not even just outside someone's home, but inside the home, if there's throw rugs or wires around, we always have to be careful.
Of course.
Now, in terms of treatment medications, there are different ones available depending upon, you know, what the physician may recommend. There's a group of drugs called bisphosphonates, and under this category are medications that are commonly thought of, such as Fosamax, Actonel, Boniva, and these help by slowing the breakdown of bone.
And those are just pills that somebody takes?
Yes.
Okay. And they slow the breakdown of bone. Do they help build the bone?
Well, in the bone, you know, most people think of the bone as just sitting there, but it's actually always in motion. There's cells that break down the bone and cells that build the bone. So it doesn't work on the cells to build it, but it slows down the cells that break it down. So in a sense, the bone density, because there's less breakdown, can go up.
I see.
And the main thing is that the risk of fracture is cut down. That's always the bottom line is
mm-hmm.
fracture. And these medications can cut down the risk of fracture about 50%.
They can.
Yeah. So it doesn't completely obliterate that a fracture could ever occur, but it does cut them down in half generally spine and hip and other places.
So getting this bone density scan really can help people figure out what needs to go on later in life to make sure that they don't have fracture, they don't have those brittle bones, as my grandmother called them, and they stay healthier, yes.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, osteoporosis is very common, and many people aren't aware of it or and are not screened appropriately. And it's such an easy, simple test. And it's really important to prevent fracture because fractures can really be devastating.
Absolutely, they can. If our listeners feel like they need to get a bone scan or they'd like to get a bone scan, how do they get in touch with the Joslin Center? Do they get in touch with their family doctor? What do you recommend?
Well, certainly they would want to probably talk to their family doctor to see, you know, if they would be an appropriate person for a bone density test. Mm-hmm. And then if they would like to come to our facility, they'd be more than welcome to contact us or, you know, whatever they prefer.
Very good. Well, we'll put a link to that on our website, our HealthLink On Air website. Well, Dr. Jennifer Kelly, thank you so much. This has been interesting because I knew that I'd had this bone density scan, but I didn't really understand how it worked, and now I do. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Well, very good. Thank you.
And listeners, we do need to take a break now, but we'll be back shortly. Please stay with us. This is University Hospital's HealthLink On Air on 570 WSYR.